This is RSBNB Update, episode 295, recorded Friday, February 11th, 2011. You got Oon. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of RSBNB Update. Just Chief and myself here this week. Nice little quiet reunion episode after last week's hectic live show, which turned out very well. We were quite happy with the results, and last night I gave Chief a little pat on the back for suggesting such a thing, because I quite frankly would have been too scared to do such a thing if it wasn't for him.
Oh, thank you, Shane. But it's true. I mean, I was impressed. I actually was surprised that it turned out so well.
Yeah, I was really surprised that I was able to juggle all the Skyping without much issue, and everybody was pretty much there and ready to go when their time came, and nobody talked for too long and that kind of thing. So, all in all, a good show to commemorate the return of free trade in the wilderness, which we are still wading through, which we'll talk about a bit later.
Also goes to show the reliability of our community members
yes.
who joined us.
Yes.
So thank you for your help.
Of course. It's a new week, a new update, moving forward with various plot lines in RuneScape. This week, the gnomes. The concept art for the gnomes looks pretty good, but in-game, the gnomes just look scary.
Is that right? I still actually haven't looked at them. I never got a chance to... Actually, I probably did have the chance. I just didn't think of going to go and see them. I should look at that now. So what do they look like?
Well, they look kind of like the concept art, but they're not, of course, not as detailed. So it kind of makes it look like they got like a bunch of stretch jobs Botox on their foreheads or something.
Actually.
Yeah, the chat heads is what I'm talking
about.
That
does strange.
So.
At least the mouth looks strange and the nose.
I thought the forehead
does look
pretty
stretched.
Strange.
You're right. Yeah, you are totally right.
So, but you know, I guess it's a better graphical piece than what we had before. So, I don't know. Mm. I remember those gnomes were the same since RuneScape Classic.
They look very blocky.
Blocky?
like they're made with very few polygons.
Oh, probably. You know, that's their objective in this thing is to...
Yeah, and they are tiny.
Polygon
so.
Usage.
But they do look better than they did before, I think.
Yeah.
Just based on this one that I'm looking at right now.
You know, the some of these gnomes kind of look like the garden gnome we have in our backyard, which I guess is a good thing. So, yeah, we do have a garden gnome in our backyard. I had to go out at the first snow and bring it in so it wouldn't freeze over the winter, apparently.
No, we don't have any gnomes.
No?
I have gnome, though.
Oh, okay. yes, for anybody who doesn't know, gnome is a window manager, I think, the right term is on Linux.
I don't know. I can't keep track of all the little modular things.
Yeah, it's so hard to do. But anyways, let's move on.
Yeah, that was a bit tangent. So tell us about this quest, because you've actually done it.
Well, basically the whole objective... Oops, I just kicked my wire and almost unplugged myself. The whole objective of this quest is to rescue Balri, I guess you'd say it.
Was he in some of the other quests as well?
No, he disappeared 7 years ago.
Oh.
So, the idea is that he disappeared in the area to the west of the gnome village, and through this quest, you end up finding him somewhat by accident. Because initially what you're going to do is you're looking at this letter that you were found, or you were given. So this letter, you kind of follow the letter, and you realize that eventually it's going to lead to Balri. And so you figure, why not rescue the guy while you're on this quest, I guess, based on what Gul'rana says. And,
I see.
You know, it was fairly short in terms of the quest, in terms of Master Quest, because basically there's three more main parts to it. The first part is, of course, getting started, getting all the background info. The second part is making your way through the mountains, finding a new shortcut to Laledia, which is mentioned in the rewards as part of a quest reward. And then the third part is building this thing called an anti-illusion device, which lets you see things that kind of are like hidden, I guess you could say. Because, for instance, there's this vent that's hidden that you have to go down to, which is where the area where you'll rescue Balri. So you build that device so you can see this thing to go down there. And in order to build that device, this is where the puzzle comes in. It's a bit of color theory and math.
It has to be a puzzle.
So, like, for instance, I'm trying to remember what my colors were. I had to make pure cyan, which is blue and green. And then there's a number attached to it. And then there's different shapes of tokens you can put in this machine. So, for instance, a pentagon...
God, not again.
is going to be have the highest value. I mean, a hexagon is going to have the highest value, and then violet will also have the highest value. So I think that's something like 6 times 8 or something, or 48 as the number. So, for instance, you need to take the two colors, of course. So let's say you're making cyan, which can only be made in the quest through green and blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a number also associated with that. So you need to take the right shape of token such that the color multiplied by the number of sides will give you that part of the equation. Then you got to do the same thing for the other color. So
okay.
It sounds complicated, but when you sit down it's not very hard to do.
Yeah.
Because it's just simple multiplying and adding up together. It's kind of like solving an equation, if you could think of it in that way, an equation of two parts. Mm. So, yeah.
So that sounds very much like the, I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, similar to the previous puzzles in the Glow Free storyline.
Yeah, except I think
because they all involve colors and shapes, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, this one is a little simpler, I think,
if I'm
remembering the puzzles quickly. Like, for instance, I just remembered my number was 36 cyan, so that would be a green square and a blue square, because the square has a value of 16, because, of course, four sides, and green is the fourth color, so 4 times 4 is 16. And then the blue square, that's the fifth color and the fourth shape. There's four sides on it, so 5 times 4 is 20, so 16 plus 20, 36.
Mm.
So that's how you build that. Then after that, it's just a simple matter of rescuing Balri, and you make an interesting discovery. Something that I'm not sure whether I should say or not.
Dun, dun, dun. Well,
I don't know if I should say this.
We could just tell people to block their ears. I mean, if you don't want to hear it, then...
If you don't want a spoiler... If you haven't done the quest, for the next 30 seconds or so, just mute the thing. Basically, in this quest, you learn that terror birds and warp terror birds are being genetically engineered. So a terror bird isn't actually a natural thing. It's genetically engineered. Then the warp terror birds that you fight for the Slayer task go down a chute. And that's why you fight them in that area, because those are the rejected terror birds that have genetic mutations.
But then what about spirit terror birds?
Well, they're just based on that. Based on a fake creature, I guess.
Hmm, I suppose so. Kind of depends how some... Oh, well, I don't care.
Yeah, and then there's also a terror birds walking around on 2 feet that aren't actually birds. They look kind of like people dressed up, but I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see on this. So, that was pretty interesting. all in all, I think it was a good quest. It had a good plot line. It had a good arc behind it, kind of where it's going for the merger of the elf and gnome storylines, which is good because ultimately that ties into the monkey storyline, you know?
They merge. So like all three of them.
Well, I'd say the monkeys will eventually merge kind of as a secondary, perhaps. But definitely the elves and the gnomes now. I think we've seen that before, but even more so now. So that there's a direct path to Liledia. So should be interesting to see where this is leading.
Gnome we didn't glider talk about into thriftiness?
Not quite yet.
No.
Not quite yet.
What else was there?
I didn't say the requirements, but I guess that doesn't matter now. But 61 runecrafting, 62 construction, 64 agility and thieving, path of Glaufrey, and roving elves.
Oh, okay. Yeah, roving elves. So clearly they will merge. And rewards?
Pretty good, actually, for the amount of time spent. I'd say I spent no more than a half hour on this quest.
Oh, that is impressive.
Yeah.
And it's a master quest.
Yeah, it is.
But it's not really difficult either?
No.
That's
no
weird.
No combat so whatsoever.
Yeah, so it's more or less only a master because it requires, roving elves and
That's
the
right.
other staff requests. Hmm.
But 60,000 agility XP, 60,000 thieving XP, 50,000 construction XP, and 45,000 runecrafting XP.
For half an hour's work.
Yeah. Also a new gnome glider route to Trinome Village.
Oh, did that not exist before?
No.
Not that it really does much. I mean,
The ability to plant two spirit trees at one time at level 86
that's
farming.
Oh, right. Oh, I have to do
that. That's why you have to do this quest?
Oh, I forgot about it. I remember.
That's why you must do this quest.
Gosh.
And Golrana will now store spirit seeds, tree seeds for you if you want to give them
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
So, and one quest point.
Well, I doubt I will really need that, but still.
I'm going to be putting my second spirit tree, I think, on at Brimhaven.
Brimhaven would be a good idea, although, I don't know, because you can use the Brimhaven teleport tablet now, so, but then where else would it go?
Yeah, the only other choice, of course, is Etcetera, so.
Yeah, which I already do. So. Yeah, probably Brimhaven.
And Etcetera is a smaller place, so it just makes more sense that you can access that with the little scrolls you get from the quest or the fairy ring CIP.
Oh, well, I suppose so. Well, I've already got mine at Etcetera.
Oh, okay.
So I find that easy because you go straight there from the Grand Exchange.
I use mine at Port Sarum.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe Etcetera would be a good idea. I don't know.
But, yeah, because you can use the cabbage port for Port Sarum. That's virtually right there.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have to think about that.
I don't know. Anyway, it's just good that there are options now.
Yeah.
The ability to plant two is fantastic.
Yeah. Finally.
And access to the Liletia via a passageway through Mountain Range? What does that mean?
Oh, yeah. Basically, you know the mountain range that the underground pass goes under? Or the underground pass goes through? Basically, now you can go over those mountains to get to Liletia.
Oh.
That's the main part of the quest, actually, is finding the route.
But there's not really much point in actually using that, is there?
No, unless you run out of teleport crystals.
Forget a teleport for whatever reason. But even then, I mean, there's a bank in Liletia. So.
Yeah, you'd still have to cross over to the other side of that river there by where the ZMI altar is.
Yeah,
so
you'd have to be pretty screwed to want to use that, I suppose.
That's actually where you start your journey is south of the ZMI south of the ZMI altar there.
Oh, yeah.
So that is the quest. Overall, I think it was a good quest. Advanced the storyline a bit, but as everybody knows, I don't give fives for things that are probably minor in the thing. So this is a 4.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I would probably give it the same, really, based on the rewards and Sounds like a decent quest. Although it would lose, points because we'll lose that 1 point since it's supposed to be Master Quest, but it's not.
That's fine, you know. I mean, if that's the new definition of master, save the big stuff for Grandmaster.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyways, this is the main thing that people were talking about this week. Now Jagex has given us the option to disable the profanity filter in-game.
Which is a giant move on Jagex's part. Because, who could have predicted that they would have done that, having said in the past, surely, that they would never do it?
Yeah, so if you want to see people say, f*** you, and other kind of obscenities, you know, you can just disable that, right?
Integral parts of the game. Thank you, Shane. explicit tag now, I suppose.
Yeah, that's just an example, you know?
That was a pretty sad example.
You can join in whenever you want.
I'm fine, thanks. I'm going to have my profanity filter turned on.
I turned mine off.
But I think there are different ways of looking at this. I mean, there are some people who are... the majority of people probably are ecstatic about this. I think that's why Jagex would have done it, because they're finally realizing that they will actually make more money if they listen to their players, which is good. But, there are other people who think, like me, that it shouldn't really have happened. And I think that RuneScape might, you know, the RuneScape players might not be mature enough for it. But on the other hand, I think it could actually be a great advantage, because if we have people not deliberately getting around bypassing the filter, then people with the filter on are going to have a much better gameplay experience, like me. So I'm actually hoping that this will help to at least cover up the immature RuneScape players.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I didn't see it that way. I know there is a big debate about whether this should be something that should even happen, given that, you know, RuneScape typically isn't geared to be this kind of game. But, you know, the reality is we've seen updates before and stuff more and more recently that's hinting at this, that Jagex is actually starting to agree that they're targeting an older player base. Not so much the younger players like they used to, you know, when we would have updates like the stronghold of player security and the stronghold of player safety kind of thing. Yeah. So, in a way, they've moved away from that and they're targeting an older demographic. So, you know, other games like StarCraft II, for instance, have a profanity filter and it's on by default. I just turned it off a couple of weeks ago because I just got around to it. So...
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I mean, I think as long as they keep it on by default, people have got the option. There's not really anything to be too worried about, because I think it will help reduce the number of people who are actually trying to bypass the filter. And on the whole, the population will probably become more mature as a result of it.
Yeah, you know, they mentioned that that they've got still a few URLs on the blacklist.
Yeah, which is fine.
And
that's,
eventually
that's really
they're going to be adding things, safe websites to it. So, you know, I wonder what they mean by safe websites. Google? YouTube?
RSBNB?
But, yeah. And any chat that contains your password will be completely blocked. Have you ever touched your password in-game?
No. It's pretty difficult to do.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Same for me. So, but anyways, I was gonna say something else about this, but I forget what it is now. Oh, if somebody's swearing and it's offensive, and somebody has their profanity filter off, is that grounds on them for them to be reported? Like, say I have my profanity filter off and I get offended by something I see. Is that grounds for the person saying that to be reported, given I have my filter off?
No, unless it is specifically targeting you, I think. Because it's just like any other form of harassment. It doesn't matter what, you know, whether the language they are using is, you know, explicitly obscene. I think if they are harassing you in any form, then it counts as. Although, I don't know, actually. Because in Jagex's report thing, they consider that to be seriously offensive language. So...
Yeah, I guess if it was serious racial slurs or something, I guess.
Oh yeah,
right?
Definitely. Yeah. Things like that. If they are directed at you, then definitely.
Okay. Another, like, I can see it the other way too. You know, if you have the filter off, and you're going to be upset about that, you really have no right to complain. You know, I can see it that way as well. Kind of like the same thing. You know, if somebody's really being annoying, that's what the ignore list is for. Kind of like, what's the point in reporting kind of thing. I just wish people would use the ignore list more often than taking stabs back at people, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Just report them and move on. But
yeah,
c'est la vie. People.
I'm not going to say what that means. We'll let people guess what c'est la vie means.
It's not that... difficult to guess, but okay.
Next thing, game worlds changed. Worlds 21, 32, 40, and 85 have been made into members' worlds to cope with the higher demand.
That's very funny, I think. Well, it's good, really.
85 is the loot share world now.
Yeah. It's good to see, really, that they are needing to do that.
Yeah, you know.
Congratulations, essentially.
Maintain a handful of free worlds, everything would be fine, you know?
It's actually good, because they used to be, you know, whenever I look at the game list, there are a lot of free worlds with less players than members' worlds, and it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, you know, I think if I was Jagex and servers became an issue, I think I'd want to maintain a ratio of 90% member servers, 10% free servers.
Yeah. I mean, how much money are they getting?
And how many people who play free-to-play have an ad blocker? Anyways,
we're not going to single anyone out here.
But that's that. I just want to mention one thing from the release notes, is that party hats and Christmas crackers will now change in price by up to 5% per day, dependent on demand. That's rather cryptic of them. So,
was it before?
I don't know. That's why I'm wondering. Like, is this saying that they put a limit on to how much they can rise? Or... because, like, if we look back at the blue party hat from the first week of this update, we saw a big jump in the graph. And that would have had to have been more than 5%, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so, that's what I thought.
You know, maybe they put this as an artificial cap or something to prevent these from going too high, which that's a case I don't entirely agree with. I mean, we're supposed to
I'm a bit split as well.
We're supposed to be having a free market here.
Yeah, it doesn't really work if you single out specific items, does it?
Yeah. But Blue Party had 0 GP change today. I don't
funny
know
how that works.
It's going to be interesting to watch.
That means no one bought them or sold them.
I don't know.
Hmm.
You know, this could be maybe something to do with the fact that there's so few of them in the game. We'd have to know how many of them in the game there were to kind of see if this 5% rule had anything like that. So. But anyways, if you have a Robin Hood hat, you're probably happy now that apparently it's gone up 6% today.
Damn it. Well, I kind of meant to buy one a while ago, but never got around to it.
Anyways, moving on. Jagex has a reminder about the events this weekend, the Bloodbath events, that it conveniently tie in with Valentine's Day. So if you're interested in those, take a look at their announcements about it.
Good stuff.
They're doing a reverse Q&A. they're going to post a set of questions, or they will have posted the set of questions because they're doing that on Saturday, just as this show is coming out. So I guess you guys can go watch the results of this. But basically the idea is they're going to post questions and the community is going to answer them.
Why? Basically.
Wilderness clans and general in-game well-being.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the problem. You know, we got this bastardized poll system now on the main page. It's not even valid.
Well, I mean, maybe this is a chance to give proper responses rather than just
I guess
basing them on Jagex's.
But is anything, like, are the majority of people who post on the RuneScape forums going to give proper responses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, how do you pick a response out of all of the replies they would inevitably get?
Yeah, so I don't know. Should be interesting to see what they come up with.
Mm.
Oh, and I guess I should mention, I didn't put this in the notes, but I will, is that part 4 of the Game Engine Q&A is up. You guys can go read that. I posted a question in that, so yeah.
Another one.
No, you remember it was the one about, I asked on RuneWire, but I never looked to see if anybody got that right. It was about my question was VI or Emacs, and it got a nice little answer to it, so...
Anyways, still don't know why people use nano.
Yeah, I don't know. But we can talk about text editors
anyway.
Alrighty, Game Engine Q&A Part 4. I'm just putting this in the notes as we speak.
Is nano even available on Windows?
I don't know. No, it's available okay. on OS 10. Anyways, competition
anyway,
updates. Yeah. $10,000 giveaway January prize draw. 10 lucky winners have been selected, and messages are currently waiting in them for their inboxes. I didn't get one, did you?
No, well, I don't think so. I haven't actually checked my
Oh, you should check.
Box, but I didn't do anything. What is this?
Anybody again? Who was a member was entered.
Oh, cool. No, I haven't checked. I should do that now. Login.
Also, the free trade competition that they told about for the first days of the wilderness came, or the first weekend of the wilderness, and a whopping 26 trillion gold coins were traded. 26 trillion, 96 billion, 459 million, 160,643 coins to be precise.
That's pretty impressive.
4,000 people took a stab at the total, while a handful of you were close, Fearlex was the closest. Did you get a message?
There we are. Read messages.
You have new messages?
Oh, I have to log in again. It doesn't tell me. No, I have nothing new.
Oh, okay.
That was anticlimactic. Anyway.
Alrighty then. So 26 trillion gold coins?
Sounds about right. I would have guessed something like that.
That is rather amazing. Some
amazing like that.
Anyways. Last thing this week in terms of RuneScape updates, Players Gallery Valentine's Day themed. I quite like the first one that they picked.
Mean I have to look at them again. Oh, Shane, you little lovebird.
No, I mean, it just looks nice from a perspective, you know?
Aw, cutie. After all, love is the strongest kind of magic.
You know, they should have given this one as a higher resolution copy.
They should have had it two males rather than a male and a female. You know, just
no.
Sign of the times.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Another one that looks fair good enough. Is the second row, second column. But kind of overdone, maybe, in terms
of
the effects.
Wow, that 3D is... Oh, second row, second column. Oh yeah, that's nice. But first row, third column?
First row, third column? What the heck was that? Yeah, I don't know. That guy looks like his legs are like broken or something, the way that
I know. That's really weird.
And then the two cats looking over them?
Is that supposed to be the barbarian dwarf guy?
Oh, maybe. That makes sense.
From the Gunner's Ground.
Yeah, from the Gunner's Ground quest, yeah. Mm. And then Bob and Niet there.
That's really creepy. Okay. But yeah, the first one. Yeah. That could easily like not even be RuneScape related at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't even tell. I mean, that runecrafting altar could be anything.
Oh, that's a runecrafting altar?
I figured that was what it was supposed to be.
I don't know. The title is Crafting Love.
Yeah. Okay. That's all. You can go and look at those in your own time.
There's one with like a zombie or something.
I didn't look at that.
I don't get the second last one.
It's all right, Shane. We can let the listeners look at them.
Alrighty, in that case then, we're going to move on to questions. We got 4 audio questions for you guys this week.
Didn't you mention the DeviantArt page?
Oh, no. You were hurrying me along, so I forgot that.
I'm sorry.
So the DeviantArt page? Yes.
They have a strange avatar. So
yeah,
more or less.
I was wondering about that.
RuneScape have a DeviantArt, however you pronounce that, I've never been sure, page. Fantastic. Now we can go to listener questions.
Okay. First one is from a fellow named Papiro, I believe.
Hello, hello, hello. I have 2 questions for you this week. First off, where is your favorite fairy ring? And second, out of all the herbs in RuneScape, which one has the most amusing name to you? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Fairy rings? You are an avid fairy ring user.
Yeah, I am, but I can't say I have a favorite.
I mean, I've never liked fairy rings because I always, you know, they always used to require a Luna staff or a Draymond staff, and I was like, oh, I can't be bothered with this crap. And I just used whatever other method of transport that I could use. Nowadays, because we don't need a Draymond staff or anything after doing Fairy Tale Part 3, it's a lot more convenient. But even then, I mean, favorite fairy rings.
I think the ones I use...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, the ones I use most frequently, I mean, are definitely the one outside Varric / Edgeville, because that's kind of the closest one to a teleport or a bank. And
yeah,
from
that
there,
one's good.
From there, I would probably go to the Ancient Cavern or. What is that other one? Yeah, actually, the Ancient Cavern is the one I use most often.
Okay. For me, the one I use the most often would have to be CIP to Miscellanea when I go check on my peoples there.
You remember them by code. I've never been able to do that because
I remember by code are Edgeville and that one. CIP and DKR.
Still, I... Okay.
Yeah. All the others I have to look up. They're in my little list.
Thank God for the list.
Other useful ones in the past have been to the hunter areas, because the one to the Felder Hunter area is good because it provides you quick access to Uglog if you need to go there for any of the paths. And also the Piscatoris one. That one's a quick one that's good if you need to just do a quick hunt or a quick summoning run, I mean.
Yeah.
So, if you just need to make like one batch of something, that's good. Another reason that one's good is because that's where the butterflies are, and if you're doing a hunter, you could trap those there with your hands. Other good ones, I think, for doing clues are the ones that go to the Fremenic lands there by where the Hattie Wolf was.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So. But anyways, strangest herb name?
I don't know, but you thought of some.
Well, you know, the one who uses, or the one from the Juju farming potion, the, I'm not even sure how to say it, Yugoon? I guess, I don't know. I'm guessing that's how you'd say it.
U-G-U-N-E. I don't know. Try the narration thing like you did before.
Yugoon.
Yugoon. Yugahoon. See, Yugahoon. Even he makes it sound tribal.
Yugahoon.
Yugahoon. Yugahoon Shane? Migahoon. We all got oon.
Okay. But aside from that, I don't really know. I always thought Toad Flax was kind of interesting. Why have the name Toad in a herb?
Oh, yeah.
Dwarf weed?
Sort of always puzzled me. Weeds of dwarfs?
Yeah.
Weed for dwarfs? No, let's not entertain that.
Yeah, let's not.
Possibility. So. I think, yeah, use your imaginations. Thank you, Pepiro.
Alrighty, next one is from Aiden.
Alright.
Oops, wrong one.
Hey, Shane and Sea Snake, it's Aiden again. Okay, first of all, I hope the quality this time. As I got my iPhone 4 fixed. The question this time is, which spellbook do y'all prefer? I prefer the Ancients mainly because I like to do magic a lot and prefer to use attack when doing mage. If so, what's yours and tell me why? Okay, thanks.
Favorite spellbook?
You know, for the convenience of everything, I have to say the conventional spellbook just for the teleports.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've actually never understood how people can get by on the other spellbooks, especially Luna's.
Spellbook swap.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's still not convenient. I mean, I use teleports all the time, just the conventional teleports. And you can't just keep the spellbook swapping to use those.
Yeah, it's actually quite an expensive spell when you think about it.
Yeah, it would be too. Unless you are actually doing, like, the Zenomai Altar. Or if you are doing, you know, doing quests around the Lunar region, then there's not really a lot of point being on that spellbook.
The only time I was on Lunar for a long time was when I was getting 99 magic and I used a string jewelry spell.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, if you're doing something specific, then that's good.
But
otherwise, I'm going to be boring.
I can't remember the last time I used the ancient ones.
Stealing creation. They're always good.
Okay.
Just to annoy people.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like being annoying. That's called teasing in StarCraft 2.
Well, you might as well have fun while you're doing stealing creation. I mean, I get a little bit sick of skilling in there all the time. I'll do it for like 10 minutes and then just go crazy.
Yeah, I was never able to understand stealing creation. Like, I understand
how
it works, but it was...
Anyway, so you either go along with it and, you know, join in, or you get, wasted anyway.
Alrighty. Thank you, Aiden, for that question. This next question comes from a person who didn't leave their name with us. So if you're sending in an audio question, especially through the phone number, make sure you leave your name, because we don't have a caller ID as to what your name is. You might think that when you leave a message for someone else, it's fine because you have caller ID, but we don't have caller ID, so please say your name when you call.
Hey, Shane and Chief Snake. I recently got hacked on RuneScape and lost a total of about 10 million. This is a lot of money to me. It probably sounds like nothing to you guys, but I've always been struggling for money on RuneScape, and I wanted to know any quick ways to make it back. Quick or long-term works, and Shane, don't say farming. All right, bye.
I want to know why everybody has problem with farming.
Yeah, I know. Because it really is the perfect way of making money. I mean, you cannot go
wrong.
It's
so easy.
Herbs.
Like, you just do nothing. You just put the seeds in the ground and come back an hour and a half later and you got instant profit.
I know. It's so much easier than other things. You know, you have to grind things like, I don't know, Hunter for some reason is the first thing that comes to mind for me. Things like woodcutting is boring as hell.
Yeah.
And fishing and mining and...
If you don't really want farming, the only two decent choices I have in my mind are combat, i.e. Slayer, and Grand Exchange Flipping. But
yeah.
if you lost 10 mil, you know, maybe you don't want to risk on the GE. So,
I mean, apart from that, all we can really say is, you know, take your pick at any of the grinding kind of skills.
You could go runecrafting if you had 91 runecrafting, but I doubt he does. So, but you know,
that is kind of grinding as well.
But farming is not grinding.
Yeah, that's the thing about it.
So, I don't know. I have to say farming, but if not, Slayer or Grand Exchange Flipping, or as Chief says, maybe Hunter.
Well, that was just first thing that came to mind. But Hunter isn't bad, yeah. I don't know.
Or you could go collect dragon bones and green dragon hide from the chaos.
Oh, you could do that. They're high at the moment. Mm.
Yeah, so there's some choices for you.
Help inflate the market.
Moving on to the next question. This one is from Soothsayer.
All right, Shane, Chief Snake, I got a question for you. I've had a Dell laptop for just over a year now, and I've had hardware failures 3 times. So I was curious what you guys would recommend as to a different manufacturer, because Dell's just gone to hell for me. Well, thanks for your input.
First of all, I love your name. It is a great song, or not even song. What would you call that? Great piece of music. By Buckethead.
Oh, okay.
I was
wondering about that.
That some time ago. Anyway, but Dell, your thoughts?
I think that you probably just had a string of bad luck, because when you think about it, all major PC vendors, including Apple, Dell, HP, they all draw from the same bucket of parts. Every part that goes into a computer is pretty much a commodity nowadays, you know, and it just really depends on the hardware, certain combination that you get, whether or not it works. So I think you just had a bad run.
I would be interested to know what actually failed.
That too.
You know, some things will fail, you know, some things are more likely to fail than others, and some things, like hard drives. I've had 2 hard drive failures in 1 laptop, which is still running now, fortunately, but that kind of just happens, and you can't predict that so much.
Yeah. Typically with hard drives, they'll fail within the first year if they're going to fail of infant mortality.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you're going to have the same luck no matter which manufacturer you go to, so I would contact Dell about that. I don't know. Did he say it was within the first year or something still?
I would kind of assume so if it's happened that frequently.
Is if that's the case, you should have some kind of warranty for that.
Another
thing I can always recommend
even if you have a warranty, it's really frustrating when it happens.
but
sympathize, definitely.
But always with a portable computer, get warranty. It makes the most sense to do that.
Yeah. Don't have to worry too much with desktops, but...
Bloody
laptops.
The same thing could happen with other manufacturers. It's not Dell, because everybody's using the same parts. It's just a matter of, you know, that. So...
I mean,
you can try
like
someone
Dell.
Else, but... Yeah, me too. I think if I was going to buy a PC, I'd buy one from them.
Yeah, if I was going for a Windows computer, Dell is the first thing that I look at, and that's what I have been looking at for laptops, but...
I think you've been looking at other things.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, Shane and I would both go for a Mac at this stage. Even I would, just because I want something that has, virtually flawless hardware. But even Macs will fail, and you even, that's why they have AppleCare.
Yeah, like,
bloody expensive,
take for instance,
as far as warranties go.
Yeah, I guess it would be over there.
Yeah.
But
$400.
On my other MacBook Pro, the video card died, and the video card is a part of the logic board, as they call it, and the logic board also has the CPU on it, so that's replacing the entire computer. It was about $900 worth to replace that if I would not have had warranty. So that's just a reason why if you buy anything but a Mac Pro, you kind of go for AppleCare. So, but the same thing can be said for Dell. You know, you really should buy the warranty when you buy the computer.
Yeah. On Dell, it's not as expensive, like not anywhere near as expensive as AppleCare. Gonna put that out there as well. But.
Alrighty, let's move on to the text questions.
Shall I?
Yes, please.
Hi guys. Smiley face. Have either of you ever physically assaulted or been physically assaulted by another person? Happy weekend from Ice Black Dragon.
No and no.
No. Apart from my brother, but he doesn't count. That was because I was a violent child, and so was he.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what happened.
Did anyone break any bones?
No, we were never actually that violent.
Anybody get their eye poked
just,
out?
Just play. It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye. But no, mostly it was all fun and games.
Oh, that's good. You still do that?
No. I don't know when that stops. It's a childish thing. And, it's something you grow out of, I guess. And we both did. I think the thing is that as soon as you're only as strong as the weakest link in a way. And so if one person is still going to be like that, then you can't both move on. You can't both mature. But, when my brother kind of grew out of it, we both did, essentially.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know, because it's a flawless transition. You don't notice it. And, I'm a lot more mature than that now, clearly.
Yes, so no and no.
And Shane never had a brother, so he never got to experience that.
Yeah, so.
Unless he got beat up by his sister.
No.
But there's a bit of an age gap.
So. Just one of her friend's brothers who
was
5 years younger than her, who is 10 years younger than me.
You got beaten up by him?
Yes.
Oh dear.
It's a long story.
We've got time.
No, it's okay. Thank you, Ice Black Dragon. This one's from RRman100. Hey guys, first off, thanks to the Snake for the New Zealand views and opinions. If you don't mind answering, what part of the county are you in? I'm in Wellington. I mean, I presume it means country.
Oh, we can call it a county. I'm in I'm in a secret place. I'm in the middle of somewhere near the middle of the North Island at the moment. But next year I'll be moving to Hamilton. I mean, what next year? In a couple of weeks, actually. Yeah, I will be moving to Hamilton for university.
More on that later.
Mm.
Okay, so just two simple questions. Mainly for Snake, this one. But do you lag in World 12, which is the New Zealand server? Because when I log on to this server, I do more lag than most of the other servers, even though it has the lowest ping.
Yes, I lag absolutely terribly. I would never. Do you remember? Were you there? You probably weren't there when we did Boss Takedown at Bandos in World 12. I think it was World 12. It was a New Zealand World with Lucia. Yeah, it was World 12. It is on YouTube. Look at that.
I think I remember that stuff channel.
It's in just a compilation of Boss Takedown events. It shows how much I lag in World 12 while tanking Grador. Jesus Christ! I mean, honestly, you watch that and you will get. I mean, you will get goosebumps because I nearly died many times. But I'm amazing, as most people know. So, you know, I don't get that close. But honestly, it is pretty scary. Not doing that again.
That's why you play on 132.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it must have been like for people who are not in New Zealand. God. But moving on.
Alrighty, I am hunting horned grax for the fur and selling the perfect furs, 20k each sometimes. Just wondering, does a higher hunter level mean you get less tatty furs? Thanks for the show, guys. Peace out. I've never actually tested this, but for my research, I can say that, you know, you're probably going to get the same amount of tatty furs no matter what level you have, kind of the same way you get the same amount of herbs no matter what farming level you have.
I would assume that too.
So, I wouldn't say it plays that much of a difference.
I think the hunter level mainly just would help in being catching able to lure the things into the traps.
Yeah, because if you think about it, the furs you get are kind of like a drop, you know, from a monster that you're killing. So it's the same kind of idea. So anyways, those two are from RRMan100, who is in New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Next one.
This question is from Zed Twilight. Hi, Shane and Chiefy. Number one, what browser do you recommend for playing RuneScape? I'm currently using the Windows client from the download page on runescape.com, and I've noticed that I frequently get the loading please wait message. I've asked a few friends who use an actual browser to play RuneScape, and they said that they almost never get loading please wait. This is fairly arbitrary, really. Because
I get loading please wait all the time.
So yeah, so do I. But I mean, I'm in New Zealand. It probably depends mainly more on your internet service provider and what kind of latency and actual download speeds you get.
Another thing I could maybe say it might have something to do with would be amount of stuff running on the computer.
Could be that too, but
you know, because if you watch the CPU graph when you're doing a loading please wait, you will see a spike in CPU usage. So it could just be that your CPU isn't as powerful enough to run the game as your friends are. So, but then that doesn't explain why I see it on mine and you see it on yours as well. So I don't know. Personally, I use the downloadable client on Windows and Firefox on OS X.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is the difference between, using actual browsers generally won't. I mean, it doesn't really matter which browser you use because they all use the same version of Java.
Yeah, that's right.
As opposed to using the downloadable client, which I believe would be OpenJDK.
Yes. That's right.
And otherwise, you will have Sun Java in all of your browsers. Apart from potentially Internet Explorer, or do they still use?
Oh yeah, you can use Java and IE.
Yeah, but they used to have a Microsoft thing. But yeah, so either the client or a browser. It doesn't matter which browser. That's the differentiation. So just see which one of those is best, I guess. Oh, number two. Anyway, I've noticed lately that while playing RuneScape, my laptop seems to get fairly hot. Even after I took it to the repair shop to get the fan cleaned. Impressive. The laptop is an HP Pavilion DM3-1030US. Do you have any tips on how to reduce this heat? Great job with the live show last week. I greatly enjoyed listening to it. Also, I had a blast at Boss Takedown, even though I teleported with 34 life points. Keep up the good show. I was a fantastic tank. I'm just going to, put that out there once again. No, it was a great event. I agree. I had fun. Thank you for coming. And that was a perfect teleport, by the way. Laptop heat reduction.
You can. Oh,
I don't know, Shane.
I've never really had an issue with this.
I have.
Oh, okay. I feel like well, what did you do?
Overheats all the time. I haven't done anything. It just overheats.
You know, there's a few things you could do. First thing might be to look at a laptop cooling pad, but I really don't know how effective those are because I've never used one.
Yeah.
Another thing you could do is you could get a stand or something for the laptop and then elevate it so that there's airflow underneath it. That would help as well.
That's kind of what I was thinking would be best as well, but I just haven't found anything that would suit.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend money because I'm too cheap.
Another thing might just be to run a fan across the keyboard because some laptops use the keyboard as a venting system.
Oh, okay.
So just run a fan along that. If you are really kind of maybe looking to do something yourself and build something, a quick idea I have would be to take some plastic or something kind of plastic that's durable and take a bunch of ice packs, you know, that you use for coolers and drain those ice packs and put the gel from those inside into your new plastic thing. Freeze that and then let your laptop sit on top of that. Of course, you'll want to insulate it with something so that you're not getting condensation onto the actual laptop. Alternately, you could take it a step further and build a water pump and run some copper pipe below it and use that. So
that would be pretty epic, though.
I think we just offered a whole range of ideas from the simplest to the most extreme.
I think I usually find when I, you know, when I'm taking my laptop anywhere, the best thing you can do is just avoid using it in places where it's obviously going to not be able to vent properly. Like if I have it on my bed, for example, it's not going to like that, to be frank.
Yeah.
Have it on like a solid surface, I think is probably best. I don't know.
Another thing you could look at to kind of act like a heat sink. These stands are designed for Mac laptops, but check it out if you want to spend some money. The M stand, it's one I have. And basically the idea is that it will make physical contact with the computer. And this is an aluminum stand, so it will distribute the heat through that and take the heat out. That's another option.
I think that's sufficient.
Yes.
Thank you, Zen Twilight.
74 degrees Celsius. That's what my laptop's at right now recording the show.
I don't know what mine is.
CPU. Anyways, next one is from Regnant. Have either of you heard of the hot sauce mom? Long story short, a mom made her child eat hot sauce as a punishment. What are your thoughts on this? Are people blowing out of proportion, or was she wrong? Also, what's the funniest name you've seen or heard, both in RuneScape and real life? Keep up the awesome show.
I hadn't heard about that, but I think it sounds like it's being blown out. I mean, I haven't even read the article either, but it sounds like it's being blown out of proportion.
Yeah, but would you want to be fed hot sauce if you did something bad?
No, but, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, slap on the wrist and...
But hot sauce?
It's just
I guess it would depend
sauce.
On
it's
how much...
It's not going to kill you.
No.
Is it?
It'd depend on how much and how often and what kind of hot sauce, I guess, you know? But... I don't know. Not sure.
We force-fed a chili to our Indian friend a few nights ago when we went out for dinner with them.
Really?
That was amusing. But it turned out that the chili wasn't even hot, so it's kind of boring.
That's too bad.
It was. I got excited. Took photos.
You got excited.
All
right.
You know, no, I'm kidding. I'm not that mean. But funniest name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I like the one letter names. Like
N,
H,
those are always good.
M, Q. Bonus points for anybody who knows what's significant about Q as a name.
Oh, God. But it's not really funny. I mean, that's just really cool.
No, funniest but I get a names? Kick out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't okay, know. Sure. I don't find much funny, though. Mm. So, unless you have anything?
I don't, actually. I mean, I just post names on RuneWire when I remember it, but I don't, yeah.
Oh, yeah, remember that one? New Zealand?
Yes, but that wasn't funny either. That was just cool.
There was one called Mr. Bloggins.
I don't remember that. That's not that significant.
The one from the clip show last year?
Oh, God. That wasn't funny. That was just immature.
No, I'm just mentioning names that stand out right now. PFK99's Silver was 9.
By the way, sick, Shane. Sick. That you should even bring it up. Oh, no. Here we go. I'm just going through my RuneWire pages at the moment, and I've got New Zealand, and then below that, StarCraft 2. That's a level 90, by the way. Represent. Yeah, that's about all.
Yeah, so we don't have that much. So thank you, Ragnanth. Last question from Jackie. I will take it. Or no, maybe you want to?
No, you can take it.
Okay. Dear Shane and Chief _ Snake, I'm back from my question asking hiatus this week, and I have 3 questions. Okay, we will attempt to get this going. So first, Shane and Chief, I know you've been hacked before, and I was wondering if you were hacked due to having weak passwords or were you keylogged? I was hacked 3 years ago because someone offered me free membership, and so I gave this guy my password. I considered us friends at the time. Now when I look back on it, I think how stupid it was for me to do that. I honestly don't know how I got hacked that one time. Just once.
Oh, that's right. I was like, what is this guy on about? You've never been hacked. I completely... No, it's all coming back to me now. Sorry. Oh, we should also mention that this is kind of similar to another question that we received, so just put this one in. I don't know either. I mean, usually you kind of should have a general idea, but...
It wasn't a keylogger, I know that much.
I probably did have a weak password. I'm a lot better at... because I basically just, you know, generate a random... I mean, not that I should be telling this, but it's a pretty low chance that I will be hacked by, you know... Yeah, my passwords are generally pretty random nowadays, but yeah, I used to just use dictionary words and a few numbers.
How long is your RuneScape password?
It's not that long, but you wouldn't be able to crack it unless you had a few PS3s.
Okay, so yeah, I honestly don't know. It's probably just a weak password too, which... Shouldn't have been, but in any case, second question is mainly for Shane, but if you can answer Chief too, it would be awesome. Anyways, here goes. When making forum, where does one start? I'm not really familiar with how it works, and I was wondering, do you design everything using codes, or do you use some sort of template?
Well, we can both answer this.
I made the first RSBNB theme based off of some other theme. So, basically the idea is that you want to use something, if you can, that's hosted, not an Envision free, because those are just silly looking if you are promoting one of those URLs. So try to get something that's hosted at a proper domain name, like PHP.
And they're impossible to remember as well. I mean, honestly, unless you...
Yeah, because they got the weird little subdomain in front of it, you know?
And it's always a random number.
Yeah, so...
Like which server it's on or something. Anyway.
Yeah, so, but as for the theme designing, it's pretty much the same as designing a website, in that you start with the Photoshop mock-up of the thing, and then you make an HTML version, and then after you convert it to the forum's templating language, which on PHP BB is... something, I'm not sure if it's something that's...
Ridiculously complex.
Yeah, it could be a whole lot simpler. Yeah, it's really annoying. Templating PHP, BB. Hence why that the RSBNB Classic theme is going to be retired eventually. Pending some other release, which I can't really talk about at this time.
Really? So, do I know about this?
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty much the way I would describe it. So yeah, you do kind of need to know your HTML, CSS, and ultimately a bit of PHP.
It's not that hard. It's just a lot of work, and you have to be pretty meticulous.
Like you?
Yes, but I mean, I hate in a way. I sort of hate the current theme because it still uses tables and it's pretty gunky.
It's yeah, bloated. You know, well, it's PHP BB.
But like, yeah, then I think
they're designed to work with tables.
I could really do that much better than that, so I don't care that much.
So, anyways, third and last question. I've started mainly working on my secondary account, JKI. Does that mean anything in French? IKI?
No.
And I was wondering how to farm efficiently. I don't have a budget, but since I've started farming, it seems my XP is growing slowly. I want the fastest XP and currently level 26 on that account. Thanks and sorry for my long questions. Keep up the good work from Jackie. So if you're level 26, you can do oak trees. Do those until you reach level 30. And you want to start on willows and apples. Apple at level 30.
I suppose so. Oh, level 30. Right then.
I think so, at least.
Oak trees.
Basically, the idea with getting the best amount of farming XP is to do the best trees and fruit trees that you can while offsetting the cost with herb farming. And if you have extra money to throw around, buy watermelons and plant those once you have the level.
But there's not really much point doing allotments at all at that level. I mean,
At your current level, no. You should just focus on the trees and stuff.
Yeah. And acorns are god-awful cheap.
Yeah, you see, back when farming first came out, the tree seeds and stuff were pretty expensive. So I pretty much went from level 1 to level 60 on allotments and allotment farming runs because they were expensive back then. So, yeah. Then I think trees came in when I started going to the kingdom and whatnot. So the kingdom is also a good resource because you can get seeds from that. That's where I get all my spirit tree seeds. But that is it for questions this week, unless Chiefy has anything else he'd like to say about farming.
Nope. I agree with you, Shane.
Good. Alrighty then, moving on to the tech news. Or no, first I wanted to mention about the questions this week because we had the one fellow who sent in an audio question over the phone and didn't say his name. So if you're sending in a question, please say what your name is through voice because it just makes it a whole lot nicer if we can address you by your name rather than just unknown sender.
Way to single someone out. We don't care that much, but you know. It would be nice.
Well, no, I had other questions this week that were...
Oh, did you? Oh, okay then.
Phone-ins, but blank messages. So,
oh.
Other things, if you want to send an audio question, questions@rsbnb.com. If you want to record it, then email it to us. That's a preferred method. Alternatively, if you don't have a microphone on your computer and you don't want to mess around with that, you can give us a call. And that number is?
I forgot it. 715722632.
Yes, there you go. Good job.
Holy crap. Yes.
Which translates to 571-57B&B.
It does indeed.
Alrighty. So in tech news this week, Nokia is abandoning its platform for their smartphones and in turn adopting Windows Phone 7, the operating system.
Big move. Bold move.
Yeah. You know, there was some debate whether they'd go with Android or Windows. I kind of wish they went with Android.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have wanted them to, too. But it kind of makes sense. I mean, it it's the logical move because Nokia are a very closed, or they looked very closed source. I don't know.
So basically, they're going to pretty much embrace all of Microsoft's platforms, including Bing. So pretty much they'll be a manufacturer for the Windows Phone 7 OS, and their Symbian OS will be phased out entirely. And then the Migo, which is probably what you were thinking of, it will be open sourced as their open source experiment, futuristic thing. Yeah, that's what mine is right now. It's an ancient flip phone from like 2004, but it works for making calls and receiving the odd text message. So
that's good.
Also, they note that Nokia's Qt development kit, which was once the unifying counterpiece of the platform strategy, will not be coming to Windows Phone 7, but Qt will continue to be supported in a limited capacity as the primary development toolkit for Symbian as a part of the Migo stack. So Qt is not going away. Basically, for anybody out there who doesn't know what Qt is a development environment for C++ that lets people write nice looking object oriented code and build nice interfaces using C++. As a matter of fact, the old version of Skype on Windows was built using Qt.
And I think it still is built using Qt on Linux.
Okay.
But that's just me.
I don't think the OS X one is Qt anymore.
No, probably not. It looks too nice to be Qt.
So, yeah, so I guess this is going to be a bit of a proving ground maybe for Windows Phone 7 OS. I don't know. I really don't see Windows Phone 7 OS taking off. I think the main...
Neither do I, but it's
still...
It also depends on how many phones they actually bring this to and what kind of a market.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Because right now, that's I think true. Windows Phone 7 is extremely exclusive. I mean, I haven't seen it on anything in stores or advertised, over here at least. I did see one, but it was super expensive. So, you know, if they bring it to a present Android market, then I don't know, it could gain some ground. Could be interesting. But
if I had the choice, I wouldn't want to use Windows Phone 7 OS. I'd rather use Android. If
exactly.
I had to choose anything but iOS. iOS would be preferred. But anyways, should be interesting to see how this goes.
Yep.
It's just a matter of too little too late for Microsoft, I'm guessing, on this. But who knows?
Speaking of which...
Yeah, more too little too late. HP announces its tablet running webOS that's going to ship this fall. With a 1.3 megapixel camera, 1024, 768 display, Beats audio, and 16 or 32 gigabytes of storage, and a 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon CPU. So, and this is shipping this fall. So that's probably 6-7 months away.
By which and time?
Like, iPad 3 will be being talked about. I assume, at least. Since iPad 2 is supposed to come out within the next
month
or so.
Yeah, iPad 2 will have already gained way more ground. And again, poor other companies.
Yeah, once again, I think Android is going to be the competitor in this case. Anyways, this next piece really isn't tech news. It's more of a kind of just a public service announcement for where we're heading in terms of computing and an example of this. For those of you guys who don't watch the TV show known as Jeopardy, which is on every weeknight in most markets, I assume, they're going to be doing this thing next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, in which IBM supercomputer called Watson will be taking on former Jeopardy champions Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter. So basically what I've done is I've linked to a PBS documentary on Nova about building Watson and how the bug testing and everything worked from basically this thing started, I think, 3 years ago, and now it's just ready for prime time to go public and see if it can beat two of the best Jeopardy players of all time. Now, unfortunately, the video I posted is available in the U.S. only, but there are ways to get around this if you are, if you have ever wanted to watch video from another country before that limits it, which I'm not going to talk about right here. But just want to say that the implications of this, if the computer does beat these two people, will be profound in terms of where we're heading for artificial intelligence in the future. You know, Chief, I really wish you could watch this, but it's only available in the U.S. on this website. So,
how do
I'll
watch it?
I'll tell you later. Huh?
Okay, never mind.
How did I watch it? I watched it on the TV when it was on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I watched it on the PBS channel. So, anyways, I think everybody who's interested in this kind of thing should take a watch at it.
However,
that is it for tech news. So we are going to be moving on to now some other things, most notably starting off with the February Skill of the Month update.
And which absolutely is, nothing has happened since the last time.
Yeah, stuff has happened.
Well, stuff has happened, but nothing has changed.
Oh, okay. Adaron Cronon, 6.9 million XP. Minas 199307 has taken second with 1.8 million XP, and RS Gamer is in third with 1.4 million XP.
That is disgusting. And, well, and very close behind Pepero with 1.4 and 1.3. So, yeah. It's anyone's game for second place.
Well, unless he stops completely, like, tomorrow or something, and everybody just continues at their current rate, you know?
Shane, he has 127 million XP.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that much agility XP.
No.
I have 99, but training it just for fun would be pushing it, you know?
I agree. I did not even sign up for this. Well, he did slow down for a bit there, but...
Yeah, for a bit, and then picked up almost, looks like, at what he was at before, so... Anyways.
Still. That is very impressive, we should say.
Yeah. Because, quite frankly, I don't know how one can do that much agility XP in a day.
Yeah.
I should look back and see what my most agility XP was in a day. When I was getting 99 then.
I mean, that would be... Oh, excuse me. That would be a whole level for me right now, I think. Or just about.
Oh, yeah, right? Because you got to go up to 91?
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty, so you have a pick?
I do. My pick this week is slightly different, but it does relate to RuneScape slightly. I actually played this last night. I thought of this last night because Shane's like, oh, can you get a pick? Because otherwise I'll use his usual, blackmail that he uses against me if I don't get picks. But yeah, more or less. So I was playing this game last night with some friends at this party, 2 a.m., you know, because this is what we do at parties when no one wants to sleep. We play card games. Anyway, this is called Free Market.
Can I just stop you for a sec?
No.
It's good that you said you do that at parties rather than
Okay. Well, yeah. I think it's fun anyway. But so, yeah, we were playing this card game, right? And it's a little bit like, this is probably not a common game. I've never heard of it before. But you could make it out of, like, Monopoly stuff. That's kind of all the stuff that you would need for it. Those cards that that come with Monopoly sets and the money from it. That's all you need. Because basically what you do in this game is you go around a circle of people, and you've got to have a few people to do it. And you start off with, say, $5,000, and you draw cards, and these cards are like, you know, things in Monopoly, basically, that you can buy. But you draw a card, and you know, you own that thing, and it's a little bit like Go Fish, actually, in that you go around the circle asking, do you want to buy this card that I've got, or does anyone have some other card that I want to buy? And if you get a set of four similar cards, then you cash those in for money, something like that.
How do you
anyway,
get a set of four similar cards with the Monopoly title deeds when they're only...
well, I imagine with Monopoly ones, because that you know how they have the same colors?
Right.
They have, like, groups of them? I don't know. I just assumed that it could... I mean, because we didn't use Monopoly. We used the actual game, which is...
Oh, okay.
But if you, yeah, if you didn't have the stuff, then you could do it with Monopoly, I think. But, yeah. So, say we have a card which is in the boats category, and there would be four different kinds of boats, and you would have to collect all four of those, and then you could cash them in and get heaps of money for them. So the objective is to basically, by the end of the game, be the person with the most money. It is that simple. But the thing is, you can be as extortionate as you want to. You can charge people as much as you want for certain cards, and if you know if they want them. And you kind of have to offset or take into account the price that you will get for them when you exchange them, as opposed to the price that you're paying for all your cards in total. And yeah, it's how this how this relates to RuneScape is that, you know, this is basically the free market, and it is essentially economics. If people want things badly enough, they will pay a high price, and it's actually very fun. You can get into this game.
Did you use real money?
No, we didn't. I won the second game we played. We only played two games. They took like half an hour each, which, you know, we were having fun, man. I mean, come on. This was like a raging party here. But yeah, I won by a good 20 grand, which is pretty impressive, if I do say so myself.
And what happens when you cash the card in? Do they go back into a thing where they get can be bought again, or do they just get thrown away?
They get taken out of the game. Yes.
Okay.
It's pretty hard to explain if you haven't played it, because I suck at explaining things like this. But
oh, I got it perfectly.
Oh, that's good. That's
good. Do you have a link to a wiki page or something where we can buy the supplies?
I don't know. Let's try Wiki Free Market. It might also have a different name or something. A free market is a market in which there is no economic intervention. That doesn't help.
And regulation by the state, except to enforce private contracts.
You see that? Yeah, that's essentially the idea of it. I mean, it's just selling things to people, and yeah, you get money for it. It's actually a very basic game, but at the same time, it's very complex because you have to.
And it's fun.
Yeah, and it's fun, especially when you're playing with friends, because you can be total
dicks.
Hey, maybe
dicks, that would be a better way to do a condensed Monopoly game, you know? Because, you know, Monopoly games take so long to do.
Yeah, that's right. Monopoly gets very old very quickly, whereas this game is quite
quick.
People
start falling asleep when they go around the board after
five times
or something.
You're not wasting time going around the board and buying different things. Yeah, that's right. That is exactly
right. That's good. I can't
that was
that
a,
idea.
Yeah. Good game. We played that till about 4 o'clock in the morning. Good stuff.
Well, you know, at least you weren't doing other things like other people who go to parties would do, you know? So, that's always good.
I'm a good boy.
Yes, you are. So, what's this? RuneWire quote of the day?
So, yeah. This is another thing that, along with my amazing pick, I just decided to add in a new section of the show, just literally when I saw this. This is our RuneWire quote of the day, which will probably never be repeated ever again, but I just wanted to highlight a RuneWire quote.
It might be repeated. It just depends on what's on RuneWire,
I just thought of it. right there and then. So this is a quote from it's a RuneWire post by Schoolboy made 2 hours ago. So I only just saw this, literally. It says, started computer science course Monday and completely loving it. Today we started our first project, which seems pretty cool. Seems like coding is more fun than RuneScape. That is all. That is all I wanted to highlight. Doesn't that seem like the truth? I mean, for us sometimes, Shane?
Coding. Yeah, you know, that is the truth because it's just more rewarding.
It is.
And especially if you can get into a nice rhythm of it. It's kind of like once you're in, you can do a whole lot, which I haven't been able to do this week because, well, I'll tell you why after and everything. But it's a good way to kind of express yourself and discover new things, you know? It's not always like, as long as you're developing something new, I find you can have a good time with it.
That's right. That's why I don't play games much.
Okay.
Damn it. Is this another section for me? Chief,
no,
needs
it's
you.
Not actually. Well, oh,
we can take
right.
That out.
I no, we should
that
mention
last week's one.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you wanted to if you still wanted more of these images
or
not.
Oh, well,
so.
I do still want more, but I'm
okay,
not kind
so
of
we
that.
We might as well mention it again then, should we?
Okay, okay. Shall we? Okay, so Chief needs you, more or less. Go to this link because I need you. This link will be in the notes.
Yes, basically, he wants images for signatures.
I do. And there is a little preview of some of the ones that I've cut out already if you want to see how fantastic I am. But you already know that. You don't need proof.
Mm. Yes.
So that's all.
And that is
moving
at update.rsbnb.com. Achievements of the week. Starting off last week, probably after we finished the show, was Jura 99's 99 strength and defense on the same day. So double congratulations to you. I've always wanted to get 2 99s on the same day. I might make that happen one day.
Too much effort.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. It would be hard to do. So, next up, TakeOver 2011, 99 Thieving on February 6th.
Hooray! I wanted to get that. Always wanted to get that.
And even though it's not listed on the high scores yet, we assume he got 99, Peter Reaper 99 woodcutting February 11th. And Chief has a story about this.
Oh, I don't have that much of a story. See,
oh, okay.
We were meant to go to his 99 woodcutting party, and I would have. But, you know, I was at a raging party last night. And naturally, when you get that into a game like Free Market, you cannot come to a RuneScape party the next morning. I'm sorry. It's just... It's not the same. Nah, I wasn't here, so I couldn't. That's my excuse. And I forgot to reply in PM. I'm terrible.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Peter. I forgot to reply in PM as well.
But yeah,
normally
that's
I'm
why
pretty
we
good at
special
that.
Mention.
So
congratulations.
The February events now. One's happening this week, but by the time you're listening to it, it'll be long gone. So let's just say that next weekend, February 19th, Leo's Amazing Rune Race starting off in Ardoyan at 5 p.m. RSVNB time, which is 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. UT, or 12 a.m. UTC, I mean. Be there and, you know, run the race with the fellow RSVNB people and potentially win Leo's prize of 1 million GP. I know saying that will get people to come.
That's fairly generous.
I know. That is generous of him. So, and, of course, also remember Boss Takedown and PC Gaming Boss Takedown should be back next week, I assume. I know it's happening tonight as we're just wrapping this up. Schwa is running this one. So watch the forums. 2 hours. Or, yeah, 1 hour. Watch the forums for Schwa's Boss Takedown. And, of course, PC Gaming, which is run by Paul every week, so you can go to the forums and vote on the game. And that is on Monday night at 8 p.m. RSVNB time. Mm. Anyways, now, Chief, do you have something you want to say?
I it's kind of difficult for me to say. You know, I've not made an announcement like this before, but I am pregnant.
That's the best way to think of this, actually. But no, that's really not the case.
Longest silence ever. Do you want to explain this? Because this was Shane's brilliant metaphor.
Yeah, well, you know, basically, as Chief said, he's going to be moving. So he's going to take a few weeks off to get settled in and everything. And after that, he will be back at the start monthly. But we're hoping we can go to bi-weekly. And, you know, I don't know. This is up to him, but depends on the scheduling and everything. I don't know if he would be back full-time, but I know we said monthly, and if scheduling permits, bi-weekly. So do you have anything you want to add on that?
We'll see. We'll see. That's all I can really say. I mean, basically what this is just so that I can settle into my new environment, and then we'll see how things go. But I kind of don't want to overcommit myself.
Yeah, so that's why we're going to start with monthly, and then, you know, we'll work back up to bi-weekly probably, and then we'll take it from there.
So basically, this is my maternity leave, as Shane calls it.
Yes, that's the best way of thinking about this. So, you know, with this, I just want to make clear to everybody that this is not the same thing as when Brad left last year. You're not leaving RSB&B. You're still going to be part of RSB&B, and
you have not
doing
gotten rid of me.
Pretty much everything you do now, except we're just going to change up the schedule of the show for a little while and then take things how they come. So, monthly at the very least, perhaps bi-weekly. And, you know, you're still here next week. It's just the week after this whole thing starts. Yes.
I forget dates.
But we've also, I've got guests lined up for while he's gone.
I was going to say something else, but I completely forgot. Oh, yeah. This would probably be quite interesting because I haven't missed a show in a while now. And it will be good to see what other guests you can have on.
You know, that's the thing. You know, you're still going to be, for everybody wondering, you're still going to kind of have an input into which direction the show goes and everything. It's just going to be kind of like when one of us goes on vacation, we get someone to step in, or when one of us is sick or something like that. So,
yep.
Think of it like
that's
that.
That's all.
Alrighty, so with that being said, what have you been doing? Aside from playing Free Market.
Playing Free Market, yeah. Not that much. Recently, I've been... I was testing out some new merchanting methods on the Grand Exchange.
Oh, that's always good.
Which worked for a while. Yeah.
For a while.
Oh, well, I couldn't do the same thing the next day. I think it's a matter of, finding the right object.
And then making sure that...
And then finding the right prices. But it worked. It certainly worked. And that was the first time I tried it. So, I mean, it worked quite well, quite easily that first time. So, yeah. Good. It's good. It's very doable.
Okay.
It is basically as easy as it looks on RuneWire. Apart from that, I've not been doing too much else. I did a little bit of work this week. Got called in to fill in for my boss. It sounds good, but it's not really that flattering. apart from that, no, just the usual.
Alrighty. For me, just the quest this week on RuneScape. I'm trying to determine what to do next on there, so if anybody has any ideas, feel free to send them along my way, but just note that I'm free to reject them if I don't like them. I tried Slayer, but you know, I really don't think I can get into that.
Yeah.
And aside from that, just coding and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty then. I don't know if there's anything else we have to mention.
Nope. That is all.
Well, with that being said, this has been RSB&B Update, and we will see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Ta-ta.
We'll be right back.